Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Glad to have you back for the last segment of Today's Issues. Tim Wildman, myself, Walker Wildman, Steve Jordahl, and Ray Pritchard joins us from Kansas City. Glad to have you with us today. Ray, you said the weather's nice up there in Kansas City. Do you have you been to any of the Chief football games?
Not yet, but Sunday was the first regular season game, and I went to the grocery store just right after noon, just as the game was starting in Walker. The grocery store was filled with red people dressed in red for the Chiefs. I mean, this town has gone nuts for Patrick Mahomes.
You sure they weren't Trump fans?
There could be. Yeah, this is Kansas. There could be some overlap, but we've gone nuts. This is the year Kansas City believes we're going to go all the way.
Well, I wouldn't doubt that.
Watch out for my Raiders.
By the way,
well,
who won
good
the game
last night?
Raiders.
It was.
Raiders and the Broncos. Who won that?
Raiders.
Okay. By the way, the quote kneeling, well, it's not quote, they were kneeling for the national anthem that if some of the NFL players were participating in 2-3 years ago.
Right.
Non-existent.
Haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm. I think there are maybe 2 or 3 players in the whole league that still kneel for the national anthem. So I think what I'm saying is that went away.
The NFL offered them some concessions in terms of throwing some money towards some social justice type issues, and I think maybe that helped a little
well,
bit.
Well, they bought off Jay-Z, if that's what you're talking about.
Good way to say that.
Money talks.
Yeah, so I think what happened was, but that was happening before that, and that is the National Football League, their owners and their players, they all realized, I think, that this was killing them
right
in public relations and threatened to affect their bottom line in a big way. And by a big way, I mean, I'm not saying the NFL was ever going to go away. I'm just saying that if they were to have lost 5-10% of their fan base and their income, and some would argue it would have been more than that had they kept it up, that is the kneeling during the national anthem protest, that it would have been worse. But I think they came to their senses and realized, you know, there's a better way to protest than disrespecting the flag. Don't you think so?
Tim, don't you think Mr. Yeah. Trump had something to do with that?
I do.
I mean, he took that on as an issue.
And I also think Jerry Jones deserves some credit, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys,
right,
as others may that I don't know about. He is a high profile of a very high profile professional team, the Dallas Cowboys. And with the exception of that night, he knelt with the players in Arizona in solidarity. You remember that?
Right.
The Cowboys were playing the Cardinals, and he knelt with the players. He allowed them to do that one time.
Before the national anthem.
Before the national anthem.
Center.
But after that, Jerry Jones said, look, we're the Dallas Cowboys. We will stand for the national anthem. Toes on line. Mm-hmm. Helmets
right
to your side.
Right.
Some put their hands over the heart. That's not required necessarily, but helmets. So they have a protocol. They have a way, professionalism, that's done to honor our flag, honor our country, that they've always done it that way for the Cowboys. And Jerry Jones made it clear that's how they will continue to do it. And you know, his players did that. Of course, if you would not have done that, he could have suspended them. It would have caused problems. They didn't do it because I think they knew their owner didn't want to. What got me was some of these players and some in the public, Ray, complaining that the owners, I don't even know if they call them owners anymore, they were going to change their name.
Right.
Because they thought it reminded people of slavery.
That was the NBA.
Oh, NBA.
The NBA.
Yeah, that's how ridiculous this thing is coming. Which, anyway, some of these NFL owners, some of these players were, a few of them were saying, hey, you know, this is like, oh, they're slavery. They're making me do, making me do things that maybe I don't want to, or keeping me from doing something. And I remember a lot of people posting on these stories saying, guess what? That's called working. Huh?
That's right.
That's called
having
a boss.
That's right.
None of us get to do everything. People don't come into work. People don't come into work and take a knee for, huh?
Right.
When you work for people, you do what they say or they don't pay you.
Right.
Or if you want a paycheck, you do what they say. And when you put a uniform on for a professional team, guess what? You're at work for that owner. And if that owner,
you're getting paid millions of dollars to
handsomely.
Do it.
Handsomely.
Right.
If you don't like it, you can quit.
Right.
But guess what? None of them quit. They knelt, but they wanted that big fat paycheck.
Oh, you got that.
So they didn't have that much conviction that they wanted to, you know what I'm saying? They still wanted to play for the league that, quote, persecuted some of them. Now, that was a very minority number, a small minority number of people that expressed that viewpoint. But I just thought some people see multimillionaires playing, getting paid for playing a sport. They don't want to see them complaining about life in America. Right?
They don't want to be mixing their politics in with their sports, no matter what side
exactly.
of the political aisle they're
exactly.
on.
All right, what do you got, Mr. Jordahl?
This unfolding just moments ago, President Trump has fired John Bolton, his third national security advisor.
He fired him?
He fired him.
Why?
And it looks like John Bolton and maybe some others were advising him against his tack with the Taliban. You know, the president wanting to have peace talks with the Taliban at Camp David, those fell through. But Bolton was not on that side. So
not on what side?
On the president's side on that. So the president's statement says, I informed John Bolton last night his services are no longer needed at the White House. I disagreed strongly with him with many of his suggestions, as did others in the administration, and therefore I asked John for his resignation, which was given to me this morning. I thank John very much for his service. I will be naming a new national security advisor next week.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Well, that's interesting. Now, at least that wasn't don't let the door hit you on the way out.
I think it pretty much was.
Well, let's be honest. President Trump has done things
worse
in terms of how he handled it. Yeah. At least he commended him for his service. Go ahead, Walker.
Yeah, this is just something that people who generally support President Trump, his policies, that we've just had to deal with, because I don't.
Why you don't agree with this?
No, Trump just goes through so many people, and people can say, well, you know, it's just natural
attrition.
He does. No, he goes
through
a lot of people.
Something.
And I just don't like how
volatile.
Yeah, you have to keep people on your team that don't always agree with you on everything. That's healthy for a working environment. Yeah, but I just don't agree that any
bring back Comey, would you say?
Well, no, I agree
with
that.
Far. That's different.
No, but it seems as though anyone who pushes back on President Trump is gone. They're gone. They're out of there.
But that's how he's always operated, I would guess.
I know. That's why you just have to accept it.
He fired people. Remember that for 10 years. You're fired.
Yeah, yeah.
You're fired. That's what he.
I think sometimes that's a good trait. And sometimes it's not a good trait, just depending on who he's firing.
Yeah. Well, nobody knows exactly what went on, Ray, between John Bolton and President Trump. But I do have to say this to President Trump's defense. If you feel differently than your subordinate and you're always disagreeing with them, on significant issues, and it sounds like that's what the situation was with John Bolton, then, you know, there's no point in you staying, okay? There's difference between offering a different viewpoint and then seeming to be President Trump felt, I'm at odds with John Bolton here. A lot of conservatives admire and respect John Bolton. He was a Fox News commentator for years. A very smart guy.
Former ambassador to the United Nations at one point, I think, wasn't he, under President Bush?
Exactly.
Hey, look, this is a good career move for John because he's going to get a big
book
deal, right? Mm-hmm. As all these people leave the administration. With Walker, it is shocking how many people come in and out of the administration.
It's a revolving door.
Yes, it is.
And that, you know, I don't know how that compares. Because President Trump is so high profile and even more so than the other past recent presidents, Obama and Bush, for example, I don't know how his turnover in his staff compares to those in terms of statistics and facts. The perception, though, is the same I have of Walker and Ure, and that is there's just a lot of turnover in the Trump administration. You know, President Trump has to, you know, he has to deal with that, for better or for worse. The worst was the mooch.
Yeah. That lasted like that was a week. 3 weeks, 2 weeks.
No, that was like 10 days.
10 days.
Yeah, 10 or 11 days, the mooch, yeah.
The mooch, that was like, I thought that was a spoof.
Right.
I thought that was a SNL skit. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it turned out to be.
I thought, man, what was the deal with that guy? I mean, President Trump, was he a press secretary?
You remember that first day?
It was like it happened and it was gone.
Communications director, I think.
The very first day after he was elected, that January 21st, the 22nd, they had their first press conference in the press room. And
Scaramucci,
yeah, I think Scaramucci was the one who came out, or was it Dan?
It was Spicer.
Spicer?
Sean Spicer.
Sean Spicer.
Sean Spicer
about
came
the crowd
out.
Size.
Right. Well, the crowd size. No, the first one, he came out and he had this terse statement and basically dismissed the thing before anything was said. It was the weirdest press conference to that time that people had seen, and they thought this is not the way it has been in the past.
Well, he's going to miss Sarah.
Yeah.
She was good.
Huckabee. She served well for a couple of years.
And not all of the turnover, I don't think.
She stopped doing the daily press briefings, and I don't blame her. But, go ahead.
Not all of the turnovers necessarily have been at Trump's request. Some, like I think probably Sarah Sanders said, you know what, I've been doing this for 2 years. It's just been crazy on my family.
Sure.
I've got to get out. And he respected that. So
yeah. Yeah.
Is there any word, Steve, on who might replace John Bolton?
No, it's just
the mooch is not even being interviewed.
I'm pretty sure he's not.
Mooch is not on the list.
He's not on the short list. So, yeah.
If your nickname is the mooch, you're not going to be taken very seriously by the American people.
Oh, my word. Okay. So, John Bolton out. It would be interesting to see who goes in there. Now, what concerned me was when General Mattis left. But anyway, there are a lot of people who want to serve in the administration, I'm sure, who are qualified for these jobs. But you're right, there seems to be a lot of turnover. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. And now Pompeo has been with President Trump a long time, too, now, relatively
Secretary
speaking.
Aziz
for that. So. And there have been others he's got a lot of guys and ladies who've been with him for most of his first term of his administration. Go ahead.
CNN put out a story, and I think it's another one of the hit pieces on President Trump. This came out last night, I believe. The date was the 9th. I'll just read the first two paragraphs. In a previously undisclosed secret mission in 2017, the United States successfully extracted a Russian from Russia, one of its highest-level covert sources inside the Russian government. Multiple Trump administration's officials with direct knowledge told CNN. A person directly involved in the discussions said that the removal of the Russian was in part driven by concerns that President Trump and his administration repeatedly mishandled classified intelligence and could contribute to exposing the covert source as a spy. Second paragraph, throwing Trump under the bus, saying he doesn't know what he's doing in the Oval Office, throwing out this classified information, putting our assets at risk.
Who's doing that?
CNN.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Now.
When did that start?
I always had respect for CNN
now,
as an honest broker of the news.
Yeah, it is shocking, isn't it? I will tell you this, that CNN has labeled those charges misguided and simply false. This is not the president, but it's the CNN, the CIA that is saying this. And the New York Times has said that they are casting doubt on whether or not the president's actions had anything to do with exposing or making the spy come out.
You know, I could simplify things for CNN.
Can you?
They could downsize greatly. When I have to pay all these high-pro, you know, the Anderson Coopers and Wolf Blitzers and Don Lemons, just have someone come on and just repeat this every day. I hate Trump. I hate Trump. I hate Trump. I hate Trump. And just, you know what I'm saying? Huh? It would save a lot of money on these big salary contracts. Just, I hate Trump. We hate Trump. I hate Trump. We hate Trump. I hate Trump. Just do that all day.
I will say that it could cost them some
people
money.
People could use it for yoga.
The voice of CNN for a long time was James Earl Jones. Yes. This is CNN.
Right.
So
yes.
If they hired him to do that, I'm sure he'd require a fee.
He's still alive?
Oh, yes.
James?
He's not as active as he was before, yeah. But he is still.
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones.
Yeah, but I mean, really, I mean, they just haven't, like, whatever their story is on CNN, it's about how we hate Trump. And why you pretend you're doing some kind of a objective, well, they don't even pretend much anymore, but I mean, objective. I don't know. It's just a hate fest almost every I quit watching them. I watch them every once in a while for something. I like to watch them for breaking news on things, but they'll spend a minute on, on an earthquake that kills 1,000 people, and then it's back to hate Trump hour.
I will say that it's kind of refreshing to see the New York Times call them out. Those used to be of one broad cloth. One would pick up the other, like you remember in the Nick Sandman issue on Capitol Hill with the Indian and the MAGA hat, and one of the networks went with something and everybody piled on. Now at least they're looking at some of this stuff critically, and that might be good news. Maybe the media realizes that they have overstepped, although they seem so colorblind or tone deaf to this whole thing. I doubt it, but that could be.
Okay. What else you got?
It's kind of along the same lines. Media outlets like the New York Times are very upset because conservatives are starting to rummage through past tweets of their reporters and finding a whole lot of stuff back there that's not so politically correct. In fact, some of it blatantly anti-Semitic and just embarrassing. And the New York Times is saying, wait. It's okay for us to do it. That's a legitimate journalistic purpose when we do it on government officials. But when you do it on us, that's just beyond the pale.
Yeah, what Brett Kavanaugh did 40 years ago is fair game. Brett Kavanaugh allegedly did 40 years ago is fair game, but what we tweeted 3 years ago is off limits.
This is their statement, the New York Times. Using journalistic techniques to target journalists and news organizations is fundamentally different from the well-established role of the news media scrutinizing people in position of power.
So one of their reporters was outed, if you will, as an anti-Semite based on his tweets, right? So what the New York Times doesn't like is that was exposed, and they think they call it that unfair, Ray.
Right.
But that's what the New York Times and these mainstream media has been doing against conservatives for years.
They're saying we get to do it, but you can't do it to us.
Right.
Nope.
It's interesting. The Times specifically was just caught in a meeting not that long ago after another article when the Russian collusion delusion finally blew up in their face and they realized they could no longer scramble down that path. They decided to take another tack, and they recently held a staff meeting in which employees strategized how to best undermine the president. Well, what are we going to do now? If we can't talk about that, we're going to have to go after his taxes. We're going to have to go. And so clearly, it's not objective. It hasn't been at the Times
This is propaganda. They're repeating the talking points of the Democrat Party in lockstep.
Right.
Hey, let me ask y'all something here about this. Back to this John Bolton story. I'm sorry, Walker.
I was done.
Back to this John Bolton story because it's just breaking this half hour that the president has fired National Security Advisor John Bolton. John Bolton says, I resigned. So I don't know what happened here exactly. But do you think, Walker, that the liberal news media will applaud the president? Because they hate John Bolton. Do you think they're going to take this opportunity to agree with the president and applaud his move here?
You would think so, but what they're going to do is turn this into another case, they're going to say, of instability in the White House. They're going to paint this as the White House is in chaos. President Trump doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know who he wants on his team.
But the liberal media, they want the White House in chaos, don't they?
They want the White House in chaos, and they hate Trump and John Bolton.
Right.
So you can't applaud Trump for firing John Bolton. They hate them both.
The enemy of my enemy is my enemy. It's still my enemy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, the president said on his Twitter account, I asked John, talking about John Bolton, for his resignation, which was given to me this morning. So he didn't say I fired him. It was kind of a forced resignation, it sounds like. Or maybe John
I fired somebody without using the word fired?
Yeah,
I mean, if you ask somebody for the resignation, that's pretty much saying you're out.
Well, it's allowing them to
save a little face.
Yeah. He's not exactly firing. It's saying I still have enough respect for this person. I'm going to let him resign instead of firing him. Save yourself a couple weeks of severance.
John Bolton just put out a tweet 10 minutes ago that said, I offered to resign last night, and the president said, let's talk about it tomorrow.
Well, they did.
Yes, he did. That's right.
It's almost like the president gets some kind of sick pleasure in firing people via Twitter. Because if John Bolton comes in the Oval Office last night and says, would you like me to submit my resignation right now? And the president says, let's talk about it tomorrow. And then he tweets when he gets up that John Bolton's fired.
I informed John Bolton last night that his services are no longer needed at the White House. I disagreed strongly with many of his suggestions, as did others in the administration. Therefore, Steve read this earlier.
His services are no longer needed.
I asked John for his resignation, which was given to me this morning. I thank John very much for his service. I will be naming a new...
Okay, well, here's what John Bolton put out on Twitter 16 minutes ago. I offered to resign last night, and President Trump said, quote, let's talk about it tomorrow, end quote.
So what John Bolton's saying, I haven't had an opportunity to talk to him about it?
Yeah, John Bolton's saying that I tried to resign last night and President Trump wouldn't let me.
Right.
He said, let's talk about it tomorrow, and then comes Twitter.
Well, there may have been a meeting today between the two of them.
Sure.
After which the tweet.
But that's not what John Bolton said.
True. Yeah. But all this is just kind of in the weeds because you serve at the pleasure of the president, right?
Right.
And if he doesn't want you, you're gone. And the rest of it is just details. Clearly, he wanted Bolton gone. Although Walker, I think you put your finger on the bigger problem. This certainly feels like it's happened a great deal.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't personally agree or like the way that the president often handles his tweeting. Mm-hmm. I think all of us pretty well feel that way.
Yeah.
Even people, his most ardent supporters. But in the old expression, it is what it is, okay? And if somebody could have taken the Twitter away from President Trump, it would have already been done. So he's going to say what he wants to say on Twitter.
He's the president.
Right? And, you know, nobody's going to stop him. And it's for better or for worse. And he has to deal with the consequences, good or bad, of his decisions to say what he says. Now, a lot of it's good. It rallies the troops. I tell you why he uses Twitter, politically speaking, is because he's able to set the message.
Sure.
He's able to go around the mainstream media. If he didn't use Twitter, he never would have been elected. And certainly, I think he would have been destroyed had he not used Twitter to defend himself and to advocate for his positions. Again, with President Trump and tweeting, you get the good, you get the bad, and you get the ugly. Right?
All in the same day?
In the same hour. In the same hour. But that's just, and we only have one president as a time. I have some friends in Bastard said, oh, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to do nothing. You know, are you going to impeach him? You know, we have one president as a time. People will have their chance to vote him in or out next fall. All right? All right. Walker, thank you. Ray, thank you. Steve?
Thanks, Tim.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Brent Creeley for running the controls for us today. Have a wonderful day, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow.